This podcast is brought to you by BearRadio.net, eclectic gay music 24/7.
Greetings. Thanks for joining us here on Bear Soup, a friendly little get-together here in our huge backyard hot tub. Plenty of room for every bear, every cub, and you. Just drop trow and drop that big hairy bod into the drink. You're just in time for Bear Soup. Howdy, this is Bear Soup, episode number 40. We have a very special guest today in the Bear Soup hot tub. Michael Rogers is a journalist of history-making distinction. He's the nation's leading gay blogger, according to many, and his website, blogactive.com, was just featured as one of Advocate Magazine's Reader's Top 10 blogs. Mike lives in Washington, D.C., and is a one-man tour de force, prying open with his bare hands the closets of our nation's capital's most homophobic and self-loathing leaders. We have a lot to talk about.
Welcome to Bear Soup, Mike.
Thanks, hi.
I have several personal questions first. Was my bear gar working right? Are you a bear-identified guy?
Definitely, I definitely have the look of a bear. Some of my friends have called me a teddy bear or a cuddly bear. Not exactly very big. I'm 5'7", but absolutely.
And that's my height.
Oh, great, and have, you know, known for obviously a long time. I've worked in the queer community, so have been connected to the bear community in many ways.
Very good. So you pay attention to that aspect of gay subculture?
Well, you know, having worked in the movement for so many years, one of the things that I find most interesting about the bear, and I think there's a definite connection to the leather culture, is that, and as well as folks who I work with at the lesbian and gay choral movement, those three groups have a lot of intersection, and in many cases you find some of the community's most involved members involved in communities like that.
Yeah, I would have to agree. How long have you lived in Washington, D.C.?
I lived in Washington for just over 10 years, about 10 and a half years. I moved here in 1996 to work at the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, which, of course, is one of the national civil rights groups in our community.
Located in D.C.
Right.
And you are partnered or single?
I'm single.
Ah, very good. Well, we have a lot of very intelligent single bachelor bears who listen to Bear Soup. in any case, in your journalistic pursuit of exposing closeted homophobic politicians, how do you distinguish between closeted gays, semi-closeted bisexuals, and straights in denial?
Well, you know, for me, I think that it's up to each person to decide for themselves how they want to live their life and to make those choices. And, you know, for a long time, people have said to me, you know, this guy, oh, he'll be the last one to know he's gay, or this one thinks he's gay, but he's really bi, or he's straight and he's really gay, and all that. That stuff isn't so important to me as to the self-identification on one level that people come up with in terms of how do people identify and the politics of personal identity. And then there, of course, how that intersects with where those folks are in a role. What, you know, if somebody has a role where they're influencing public policy, as I talk about, and then living their life one way and wanting to create a set of rules that are another, that brings into it a whole other angle of it.
Well, that's a misidentification then, right?
In that case, it could be. It could be. You know, that's why I say I think it's so important for us, whether I worked at the Harvey Milk School and it was with 17-year-old kids or it's with people in their 40s or 50s, to allow people to self-identify however they want until it starts to infringe upon someone else, then I think we have to take a look at it.
Well, I certainly appreciate your style of activism and your focus as well. I lived as a single gay man in D.C. in 1983 and was amazed at how repressed so many so-called gay men were there. Is D.C. still like that? There are so many persistent rumors about a secret gay cabal at the highest levels of leadership in D.C., indeed, apparently in the White House.
Well, there's no question about it that there are a cadre of closeted gay men in the highest level of government. When people talk about a cabal, I'm not sure. I think it's a cabal of maybe closeted gay men. I think that we have to be very important to distinguish between the difference of, say, a gay man like Bonnie Frank or guys that I know on various staffs of members of Congress leaving their lives out proudly, and then those that are making unhealthy psychological decisions in Washington leading that kind of double life. They're riding both edges of the fence, both sides of the fence. And I think that's where you run into trouble.
Yes. Despite your best efforts, we still don't know the purpose of the dozens of visits to the White House from Jeff Gannon, a.k.a. Guckert, that bisexual male hooker and Republican operative posing as a tail-on news reporter. Mike, do you think those visits were of a purely journalistic nature?
You know, I don't. That's just my personal opinion, and I'll tell you why I find that to be the case. I just think it's very interesting that the Secret Service has claimed, and there were some reports of all of his entry into the White House, that the Secret Service has claimed for many years that people come into the White House grounds, but they don't check out. Like, there's no checkout system as serious as the check-in system. And my immediate reaction to that was to become immediately suspect, because here we are, we're in a time of war. You know, we talk from the rhetoric from them is, you know, this Bush is a wartime president, and which it strikes me as odd that at a time of war, and we have this wartime president inside the White House, no one knows exactly who is in the White House at any time.
Right. It's a security matter for our nation's leaders.
It is indicative of this whole administration, how everything is nuts.
Right.
Really, that's, you're right. I mean,
well, how could the national media, the Washington, D.C. press corps, and the straight and gay stream media, including the Washington Blade and The Advocate, have given Gannon a complete pass on the matter?
You know, he's been blogged about a lot. He's been, you know, commented upon a lot. As you know, the Washington Blade ran him as a column for, I guess, about a year.
Right.
So, you know, because I have page one Q, I tend to try to be careful about opining too hard on other lesbian and gay news services. And I've met Jeff Gannon. He's a nice guy. He's not a bad personality or anything like that.
Sure.
But, you know, I think it's probably best if I just reserve judgment.
Right. Well, that is page1q.com, another excellent website of yours. I spoke here on Bear Soup about the very queer story that Karl Rove was seen entering a private homosexual orgy at a five-star Washington hotel over the 2004 Mid-Atlantic Leather Weekend, or MAL.
Right.
You are familiar with that event?
Oh, sure. I've been. Sure.
Right. Well, according to at least one account, quote, Carl greatly enjoyed the supervision of a certain hairy 350-pound leather dominator who had won the Miss Virginia Daddy Bear title at the MAL festivities, unquote. Of course, you and I both realize that there's no such title at MAL, but my question is, do you think that there is a 350-pound SMBD leather bear that would even want to top Karl Rove, even for pay?
You know... I think that I'm going to have to say that this is one of those DC kind of rumors. I can't imagine that. I'd rather, maybe I don't want to think about it being true.
Right.
But I just don't think it happened.
Mm-hmm.
That would just be my guess. I mean, you know, Washington spurs a lot of rumors, and I'm not saying a lot of things don't happen in DC, but I think if I were Karl Rove, even though I wouldn't consider myself the most intelligent man, if I was Karl Rove,
well,
I'd probably be smart enough not to get tossed up in that in Washington.
Well, if I can ask,
sure.
Who do you think that Gannon was servicing as a sex worker in the White House?
You know, I don't know. I have some theories. Obviously, I have to be very careful about what I would say publicly.
Right, of course.
And I have said this to Jeff Gannon. I believe that there were other things going on in the White House based on the record that he was doing other than reporting. So I don't know. I would like to make guesses and things like that, but again, I'm just not 100% positive, so I better be careful with that.
Oh, of course. Right. I am very curious myself, and so I figured you are the person to ask about it.
Right, and, you know, there's been extensive writings. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Raw Story, but...
Yes, I have been.
Right, so the guys over at Raw Story, they, you know, had all the logs checking in and out of the White House and the whole bit, so...
Right.
It's not like there haven't been people who made guesses here and there about, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, that's rawstory.com.
Right. Right.
Well, very good. Do you think that there is any credibility to the story of Leola McConnell, the Nevada gubernatorial candidate and former professional domino?
You know, back...
Basically, her story of witnessing George W. Bush expertly sucking another man's cock, and her implication that she topped him with a strap-on. Which a fair number of other legitimate journalists that I have heard interviews with have said that they think it's credible.
You know, I will say this. I don't, you know, I've never met her. I've never interviewed her personally. I did have some email contact with some folks who had been in touch with her, and actually when Hustler magazine did an article about Representative David Dreyer, who I had outed, this was all kind of tied into that as well, this same dominatrix, this woman. You know, what I find most interesting is that when you look at all of the theories about George Bush, it wouldn't be entirely, you know, crazy with, in terms of, you know, his whole drunk
cheerleader thing.
Well, the whole dry drunk thing, you know, when you look at the psychology of that, a lot of people say that a lot of ex-gays kind of work through the same process. I've heard a lot of rumors. You know,
yes.
People, if they want to look up some interesting rumors, they can type in George Bush Victor Ash, A-S-H-E, in Google, and have a field day.
That's a good place to start,
yes.
Has RNC Chairman Ken Mellman come out?
You know, it's interesting. I don't have definitive proof on whether or not Ken Mellman is gay. What I do have definitive proof on is that when asked questions about his sexual orientation, Ken Mellman gives different answers at different times. I've actually talked to him personally once, and I asked him the question. He hung up the phone on me. I saw him at a fundraiser and asked him why he's giving conflicting answers, and he said, I never did give conflicting answers, and of course, then I laid out all the conflicting answers he's given. What's troubling for me is that with so many people perceiving him to be gay, and certainly if Ken Mellman is gay, it's no shock to the Washington political establishment. What's really most surprising is that he's acting this way, even if he's not gay. He faces discrimination for being perceived as being gay.
Absolutely.
I mean, everyone in Washington thinks he's gay. So if that's the case, then he is really facing discrimination because of that. And what I find interesting is that with all these questions around him, that the right-wingers still will follow him to the polls. James Dobson and all these guys, you know, they gotta know that there's all these rumors about the guy. That's my theory.
Right. Well, that's what they're paying for.
Exactly. They buy their government, and they get a good bargain when you think about it with all the sellouts. They don't have to go too hard.
That's true. So, have you read former New Jersey Governor Jim McGreevy's book, The Confession? And what do you think of his coming out process?
You know, I don't understand the whole hero status. I don't understand how the community is embracing this guy all of a sudden. You know, he was a pretty bad guy. He abused his office. He had a swirl of corruption around him. He is not somebody that I think should be a role model for young gay kids today. You know, if the role model is lie and cheat and steal your way into office, become a governor, then get found out about the honesty and have to quit in a whole spate of corruption, that's not the kind of example I think we should be given to young kids. Andy Hum of New York's Gay City News, I think, put it better. He said, take the $26.95 for the book and give it to an activist somewhere in your community.
Right.
It'd be better money spent.
Right, well, I agree.
It's almost like, who cares what he has to say? You know, the whole thing. And now, all of a sudden, of course, you know, it's like, day one, the marriage ruling comes out, and who is on every TV channel, you know, there he is, we want to get married. You know, it's like, and well, my initial reaction is like, hey, pal, you shouldn't be the poster boy for marriage issues right now.
You should be.
Well, I don't know about that, but certainly not James McGreevy.
We'll call you the poster bear.
There you go. Poster bear for marriage.
Okay.
Got to find me a husband first.
A husband bear? Sure.
There we go.
I'm on it. Super. Well, let's just leave it there. Thank you very much, Mike, for speaking with us.
Thank you. It's great to be on, and I definitely want to come on again, I hope.
Yes.
Maybe after Election Day we can do a little wrap-up.
I would very much love to do that.
That would be great.
Okay.
Thanks.
Super. Thanks again for your time. Be well.
You've been listening to my November 1st, 2006 pre-election interview with Mike Rogers, the proprietor of LogActive.com and PageOneQ.com. Whoops, the darn drain's clogged with fur again, so gotta go. Thanks for joining us here on Bear Soup. This is your hirsute host, Ron Suresha. Please visit me online at www.suresha.com. Once again, thanks for listening to Bear Soup.
You have been listening to Bear Soup. Send your questions and comments to bearsoup@bearradio.net.